Like praise and praise. thankful we serve a great God. Amen. As we sing this next chorus, you just turn and tell one another that you're blessed tonight by the Lord. Amen.
I am blessed. Oh, I am
to be out this evening to serve the Lord. It's good to see a church almost full of people tonight on Sunday evening. It's encouraging. Amen. God bless you. If there's any visitors here, we'd like to greet you in the name of the Lord, make you feel welcome, and God bless you. There's still some men's and boys' clothing downstairs that someone has donated, and I was also told that there's some ladies' clothing down there as well. So after service, if you want to go down and look through that, anything there you can take if you can use it. Prayer request from Sister Sharon Toth. She said, something is going on with my mouth. The devil tries to tell me it's cancer, but I don't want to believe that. So we're believing with her that will be a negative report. Just a brief little prayer request. I want to say it was about a week and a half ago. We worked on a lady on a Friday there in the cath lab. We ended up working on her for about 4 hours. And she was a 49-year-old lady that was having some issues with her coronary arteries, and It was quite an emotional experience. But at the end of it, she was following commands, and we life flighted her to Indianapolis up there to get some support for her heart. And some of the ladies at work have been keeping, they have some online prayer group that they've been keeping a prayer chain going and keeping us updated. So we're about maybe 9 days out, but she's 49 years old, has an 11-year-old son, and unless something changes, they're going to withdraw care on her tomorrow. So I know that God's able to intervene. I don't pray at work as much as I should, but, you know, we stood there for 4 hours and worked on her, and I tell you, I prayed. And I don't believe God spared her for nothing, but I don't know, you know, she's been through so much, and, you know, to go through all this, and she had multiple strokes in the last week, and normally I don't put in prayer requests for patients that I work on, but it just came to my heart. Her husband had passed away due to some unfortunate circumstances. She has an 11-year-old son, so she could definitely use your prayers. I won't mention her name due to the HIPAA laws, but God knows. So I want to remember her in prayer and her family as they face these things. So, Brother Stephen, would you come up and take these requests before the Lord? If you have an unspoken prayer request, just make that known to the Lord by an uplifted hand. I want to remember Brother Trevor and Brother Stephen as they're traveling and ministering this week, that the Lord will just bless those meetings as well. God bless you.
Good evening, friends. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, Lord, as Brother Furman was giving those prayer requests, I was just thinking back to Well, Brother Arnie prayed this morning about how you've called us not just your servants, but you've said we can be your friends, Lord. And Lord, you sent your Spirit to abide in us and dwell in us, and Lord, we're so thankful for that. Now we come with different prayer requests as you've taught us to come and ask you in faith, believing, knowing, Lord, that you've paid the price for all those things that we have need of. And we just ask, Lord, that you would come and touch the lady that Brother Furman and the team had worked on and prayed for. Lord, she's got a young son, and how our hearts reach out and identify with that situation, Lord. And we pray that you come and move in a mighty way there in the hospital tonight. And Lord, for the sister who has Satan attacking her mouth, Lord, we know that that's just a lie of the devil. And we claim victory in that situation. And Lord, for other people in the church, maybe unspoken requests tonight, Lord, we just pray that you'd be with them and strengthen them and give them the victory over whatever it is, Lord. And Lord, we're looking forward tonight to the opening of the Word and for our brother to come and to teach us what's on his heart, Lord. We just pray that you'd be with him and strengthen him. Lord, for your bride around the world, both lay members and ministers and all together, Lord, we're trying to do our part to advance what we can, Lord, to help somebody, to reach out to a lost and dying world. And we pray, Lord, that you'd help us to be your ambassadors, to lift up your name with honor, Lord, just growing closer and closer to you every day. We thank you for your love and care and all your blessings, and we commit this service into your name, in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.
God bless you. You may be seated. At this time, we have a special from Brother Henry Collins. Amen. Sure appreciate that, Brother Henry. I see a song leader in the making. What a powerful set of lungs and just a wonderful message. There's wonderful power in the blood. Amen. Good job, Brother Henry. We sure appreciated that and look forward to you singing again. Amen. Amen. At this time, we're going to ask Sister Lana Hamby and Sister Anna Gurgley if they would bring their song for us. God bless you.
Deeper than words.
Appreciate our special singing this evening. God bless you. Let's stand.
Oh Lord, prepare me to be a sanctuary. Oh, pure and holy. Lord, try. It's with thanksgiving I'll be a living sanctuary for you. Is that your desire? Dear Lord, sing it again together. Oh Lord, prepare me to be a sanctuary, pure and holy.
Play that softly this evening. Is that your desire? Be a sanctuary for the Lord. Amen. Truly, the desire of the bride is to let Him come and live through her. good to be in church tonight. I think I saw Brother Steve Buckles back there over the corner. Good to see him tonight. I noticed him a few minutes ago. And good to have each one of you here tonight, each and every one, visitors and home folks alike. And I just want to say I appreciate those specials tonight. I know they've been trying to get Henry to do that for a while. I'm glad he did it. And looking forward to more specials from him. And then for the girls, I know sometimes when you're singing up here and, you know, you kind of got your head down, your eyes closed, and you're just hoping you don't, you know, squeak or squawk or mess up, you don't really notice what's going on out here. But because I wasn't the one singing, I could kind of look out and see. And I just want to tell you, it had an impact tonight on the people. They were blessed by it. Saw people with their hands up, saw people crying. Amen. I appreciate young people leading their, lending their talents to the Lord and giving them back to Him. He's the one that gave them to us in the first place. And so we've got another brother here tonight that I want to let him use his talents and gifts for the Lord. And Brother Till has been sojourning here with us for a few months, and I found him to be a real man of God and a blessing to the people. And so I've invited him to come and take the service tonight, minister to us. And I've had many brothers tell me that have come here, some of them from a lot bigger churches than what we've got. Many of them have told me, he said, your people really pull. They wore us out, you know, and things like that. So wear him out tonight. Amen. If you have a need, just pull on the gift in his life. Say, Lord, it might not be in Brother Attila's notes. It might not be in his plans. It might not be in his thoughts. But, Lord, I have a need tonight. And lead Brother Attila down my path. Lead him down my pew, down my situation. Amen. I believe God works like that. Amen. Let's sing it again together as he would come. Lord, prepare us to be a sanctuary. Amen. God bless you. Oh, Lord, prepare me.
Heavenly Father, it's our greatest desire, Lord, that we would be sanctuaries for you, Father. We know, Lord, that you have sent your Holy Spirit back to make sanctuaries for yourself. And we are here tonight, Lord, we're asking you to come down once again, that you would touch every soul that is here, Lord, especially those that are seeking your Holy Spirit, Lord God, for we all do it, Lord. We want more of you, Lord. But if someone has never surrendered their lives completely, Lord God, let them know how much they miss you, Lord God. For it's best to serve you with all that is in us, Lord. May you grant it, Lord, that you would come down in a special way, and then you would touch those. And those that are sick in their bodies, Lord God, may you touch them. And at the end of the service, may everyone be free. Free to worship you, Lord God, and free from the bondage of Satan, O God. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, we pray, Lord, that you would anoint us, Lord. You use our mouth, you speak only your words. And then when we said enough, you shut us off, Lord. And you continue to work with your word in every heart. As we read your word, Lord, may you anoint our eyes to see and our hearts to believe. And our minds to conceive, to understand the things that you would want to express to us tonight. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. I am not Brother Nathan. And Brother Nathan is not me. Amen. I am not Brother Hoover and none of the other ministers. I am just a little me. But we serve a big you. A big God, amen, and we trust in Him, and I know that every time we step forward to minister the gospel, if He takes over, it's very wonderful, and that's all we want. We just want Him to take over. I looked around in the church, and I didn't see no clock here, so I better take my phone, because I'm known for something, amen. Come on. Unfortunately, I start slow. But I'll try to be fast. One time I preached in Romania with a car battery light. That's all the light we had in the house. It was at night. And the only light it was, it's over my Bible. And all the rest, I couldn't see the congregation. And I preached 3 hours, and I didn't even realize it. So I'm not going to go that long tonight. I will stop at 2:55. Amen. Praise the Lord. So let's open the Bibles to Revelation chapter 5. A little easing up myself, obviously. I'm talking so I can get relaxed. You know, I used to be a boxer. I thought I'm going to die in a ring. I loved it so much. I didn't like to be hit, but I like to hit. And I want to do the same to the devil tonight. But you know, before any fight, I had many, many fights, and before every fight, I would be very, very nervous. Oh my goodness, my heart is just pounding and all that. And you look over and you see the adversary there, and he's acting like he's got you, and you're just really nervous. And then you get up in the ring, and you know you hear the bell, and from that moment, nervousness just goes. There's no time to be nervous. So I have no time tonight to be nervous, brothers and sisters. It's over. Amen. Revelation chapter 5, verse 1. And I saw in his right hand of him that sat on the throne a book written within and on the backside sealed with 7 seals. And I saw strong angels proclaiming with a loud voice, who is worthy to open the book and to loose the seals thereof? And no man in heaven, nor in earth, neither under the earth, was able to open the book, neither to look thereon. I wept much, because no man was found worthy to open and to read the book, neither to look thereon. And one of the elders said unto me, weep not, behold, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the root of David, hath prevailed to open the book and to loose the 7 seals thereof. And I beheld, and lo, in the midst of the throne, and of the four beasts, and in the midst of the elders, stood a lamb, as it was had been slain, having 7 horns and 7 eyes, which are the 7 spirits of God sent forth into all the earth. And he came and took the book out of the right hand of him that sat upon the throne. And when he had taken the book, the 4 beasts and the 24 elders fell down before the lamb, having every one of them harps and golden vials full of the old odors, which are the prayers of the saints. And they sang a new song, saying, thou art worthy to take the book and to open the seals thereof, for thou wast slain and hast redeemed us to God by thy blood out of every kindred and tongue and people and nation, and hast made us unto our God kings and priests, and we shall reign on the earth. May God bless the reading of his word. You may be seated. Amen. I am going to just start out with a little experience I had, and some of them have already heard it. And I think I told Brother Nathan, I'm not really sure, but just so kind of you understand my stand, but I was overseas, and we had really wonderful services always. God really blessed us. We have seen souls coming to the Lord. We have seen many, many miracles, great, mighty miracles. And I was one day just driving and taking some people back to the city. And then on the way back from as I dropped them off, it was past midnight. And it was really dark outside. There was no moon. There was no stars. There was, but you couldn't see them. And it was really spooky dark. Just an atmosphere, you know, everywhere, just really dark. There was no houses around anywhere. And as I was driving, I heard something says, look behind you. And so I thought, well, that's very strange. And I hear it again. So I'm looking behind, and I don't see nothing. Then it says, look to your right. And I look to my right, and I don't see nothing. And I look to your left, I don't see nothing. Look forward, I don't see nothing but my lights of the headlights of the car as I was driving. And he said, what do you see? And I said, nobody. I don't see nothing. He said, that's exactly right. This is how it's going to be when you stand before me. It's going to be just me and you. So walk to please only me. And this is my heart's desire, brothers and sisters. And I hope that every one of us have the same attitude towards God. Because one day you will be standing just you and him. There will be no daddy, no mommy, no pastor, no minister. No, but it's what you have accomplished in this life. How you have surrendered yourself to Christ. That's how you're going to be. Amen. So I don't want to please man. I just want to please the Lord. Amen. And if we have all the same attitude, then everything's going to turn out fine. Amen. You know, if in a marriage, if both of the couples, the people, they do their part, everything turns out good. Amen. If everyone tries to correct the other one, it's not going to work out good. Amen. So we just have to correct ourselves sometimes. Amen. So may God help us. So we don't want to be pleasers of man. That's what Paul said. He said, if I please man, then I'm not a servant of Christ. So we just want to please the Lord. Is that your heart's desire? Lord, let me just please you. It's my heart's desire to really please you. Amen. So it's wonderful to be here. You know, we have read the Revelation chapter 5 here. There's few verses here. And sometimes people, when you read from the Revelation, they think, man, he's going to go into something deep. Well, even if I try, I can't get deep. Okay? So don't worry about deep. All I'm trying to do is just point out something. Amen? We are in a very important, I believe, really with all my heart, that we are in a very important time of Bible prophecy, of the fulfillment of Bible prophecy, right after the seals are open and the Lord is waiting for something. And that is the ripening of the fruit. Amen. Your fruit has to ripen. We have to come to a place where we grow up, where we really express what we have received. Do you know that you and I, if we confess to believe the message, are the reflection of the message? Amen. We are actually reflecting what Brother Branham preached. Right. A church is the reflection of the ministry. I can look around in the church and I kind of have an idea what Brother Nathan stands for. Amen? Because the church reflects the pastor. Church reflects the word that they are receiving. Amen. And we are the reflection of the message of the hour. Amen. So when we look at ourselves, we have to remember that we have a very high calling. Some people said, well, I really love Brother Branham and I don't listen to no one else but Brother Branham. And you know what they're doing? They're bringing shame to Brother Branham with that, because that's exactly what Brother Branham did not say. Amen. So you are not really reflecting then Brother Branham's message. You are reflecting your own ideas. But we don't want to reflect our own ideas and our own views, but we have to reflect God. Remember that John the Baptist had disciples all the way to his death. Amen? He was even upset one day, not him, but the people that were following him, that Jesus actually baptizes more people than they do. And brother, and John the Baptist say, well, if everybody goes after him, that's my desire. It's not me. Didn't I tell you? It's not me. It's him. Follow him. And this is what God wants us, to find Jesus, not to stay with Brother Branham, but go to find Jesus. It's not about Brother Branham. It's about Jesus. Brother Branham was a voice sent in our age to turn our hearts back to something that is real. And I believe that some people really grasp it. I believe that somebody's going to get there because it's his word. Amen. That's why he did it. Amen. His word would not return void unto him. There will be somebody that will take it very seriously. And they will have a desire not to please anybody else, but to please God. Amen. Because one day you're going to have to give an answer to all that you have received to God. And may God help us to do our part, whatever we have to do. Amen. So we are in a time when it's God is waiting for us to ripen. And you know, when you look at somebody, you might think, well, this man is really ripened. He's he's a good man, you know. I looked at a few people before in my life, and I thought, man, they are just such a strong Christians. And a few years later, you see them windling down and away they walk, or they're cooling off, and they were not quite as ripened as I thought. Amen. You know, our eyes sometimes deceive the reality. But you know, God is not looking at what we look, but he's looking at the unseen part of man. You know, there's an unseen part of all of us, and this is what God is looking at. You know, Brother Branham typed the moon with the bride, with the church. He said it was the reflection of the sun, just like the church is the reflection of Christ. And you know, the moon has a dark side. And nobody can see it. It always shows only one face. Amen? And I thought, well, that's kind of interesting. Because us people of God, we also have a side, of a face that we can put up really nicely before everybody. And we are holy. Is that right? I'm talking about myself. And I said this many times to people that heard me before, but I repeat it again. You are not what you are before everybody else. But in reality is what you are when you're just alone. The things that you allow yourself to do and say and think is who you are in reality. In front of the people, we can put up a nice face. And as I said, some people are very good hypocrites and some people are not that good hypocrites. Amen? But nevertheless, we don't want to be hypocrites. We want to be real. So my heart's desire is, Lord, work on the unseen part of me to make me what I confess with my mouth. I don't want to confess one thing and in reality to be somebody completely else. Because on that day when I stand before you, I want to stand there not having any fear, but knowing that I came under the blood of Jesus Christ, completely trusting in his mercy and grace. Amen. Amen. And allowing myself for him to change that unseen part. Amen. I was listening to Brother Branham the other day, and you heard this quote many times. Obviously, it's the Bible. It said, love not the world, neither the things of the world. For if somebody loves the world, the love of the Father is not even in him. Is that right? Amen. And as he said that, I thought, you know, that goes a little deeper. Because he didn't say, don't do the things of the world. He said, don't love the world. Not if you did it, but if you love it. It goes a little deeper. Well, I can hold myself back from doing something, but yet in my heart, I would do it if it would not be sin. But the Bible says, love not. Now, how can you change the things you love? You have no access to that. How can you love your enemy? You can't do that. So you are a very needy person. Every one of us, we are very needy of supernatural intervention. Because Brother Branham said, if you have it in your heart to do something, it might as well do it because that's who you are in reality. Now, don't go ahead and start doing evil things now, brothers and sisters. I am just saying, amen, that it goes a little deeper than I am not doing those things of the world because some people can abstain themselves really nicely, just like the Pharisees did. In front of other people. Am I talking to myself? In front of other people, amen, they did a good job. But Jesus, knowing their hearts, knowing their lives, when they brought a woman to condemn, he said, well, first of all, they judged incorrectly because they didn't bring the man, they just brought the woman. The law said bring both of them and stone them. But they probably couldn't bring the man because he was probably with a high priest's son or something. Right? They couldn't do that. But those very self-righteous Pharisees that brought this woman, they had to at the end accepted that they are actually sinners. Because Jesus said, you that are without sin, cast the first stone. And the Bible says they started dropping their stones, meaning I am a sinner. I have sins. People don't know, but I do have it. Amen. Now, see, that's what Jesus wants to take care. Amen. To get down to the unseen part of men and women and to make the changes necessary to fit heaven. Because remember, we are not redeemed for ourselves or for our church, but we are redeemed for God. And that's my title tonight, redeemed for God. Amen? Not redeemed for anything else, but it's for God. And we want to be, amen, we want to be living a life that is worthy of the call that he has given us. Amen? Now, he said, love not the world. I thought, man, this is such a simple thought. But then I thought, Lord, really check my life. If there's anything of the world that I really love and it's not of you, Lord, work on that. You know, the first thing we have to do is to acknowledge that you're wrong before you can be right. Amen? Because God is not a dictator. God wants us to realize something that is eating us and bring it to him to drop it. And the Bible said, cast your cares upon him, for he careth for you. He wants to take those things if we are willing to lay it down. Amen? If you really hate it, he'll take it from you. But as long as we hold on to that selfishness, we hold on to this and that, the other, amen, well, okay, well, just keep it. I was thinking about Lot. Lot was down in Sodom and Gomorrah. And the Bible says that his righteous soul was hurting to see all the filth that is going on there. But why didn't he leave? Why didn't he just back up and go? Sometimes we do things and keep doing things, and man, it's hurting us and keep doing it. Stop and go. Give up. Now, don't give up on God. Give up on that. That you know is troubling you. Just give up. Peace with God is more important than anything in this world. To have peace with God. To be able to lay your head down on your pillow and know that if you should not rise in the morning, that you're going to rise in a good place. Amen. That you will not end up like the rich young ruler that refused, even though he knew he was not right. Yes, he knew. He kept the law. He kept all the law. But yet he ran up to the Lord and said, good master, what should I do to have what? I thought you had eternal life because you were keeping the law. You kept everything. Jesus said, well, you know the law. Don't do this, 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 this. He said, all these I have observed since I was in my youth. And Jesus said, he loved him. And he said, yeah, there's only one more thing. He just loved money. Is that right? There's only one more thing left. So Jesus did not disagree with him that he kept the law. But yet Brother Branham said, in hell he lifted up his eyes. They had a nice funeral service for him. Oh, what a good man he was. But the verdict from heaven, it was that in hell he lifted up his eyes. Because he did not use his opportunity to make right when it was given to him to make it right. So if God speaks to your heart, do not turn your back and say, I will not listen to this no more. But you say, Lord, because the rich young ruler turned his back and walked away sad. Lord, what can I do to have eternal life? And God told him, but he turned his back. Lord, what can I do to have eternal life? Whatever he tells you, you just do it. Amen. Now, you cannot earn eternal life. You have to believe unto eternal life. And God, as you submit yourself to Him, does the inward cleaning that we are talking about. Amen? We need the Lord. We really need Him to cleanse us. You know, in Colossians chapter 1, and I don't have time to go and read all of them, but in Colossians chapter 1, we read that we give thanks unto God, 1:12, giving thanks unto the Father, which had made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light, who had delivered us from the power of darkness and had translated us into the kingdom of His dear Son, in whom we have redemption through His blood, even the forgiveness of sin, who is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature. For by Him were all things created, that are in heaven and that are on earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers. All things were created by Him and for Him. Remember, everything you see was not made for you and your neighbor, but it's for Himself. God is selfish. Yeah, He made it for Himself. You are for Himself. He made you not for the devil. He didn't make you to please someone else, but He made you for Himself. If you're part of all, right? He said all things. Now, if you're outside of that number, then you're none. But all things are created by Him and for Him. And He said, and He is before all things, and by Him all things consist. And He is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that is, that in all things He might have the preeminence. For it pleased the Father that in Him should the all fullness dwell. And having made peace through the blood of His cross, by Him to reconcile all things unto Himself by Him. So He's reconciling everything unto Himself by Him. I say, whether they be things in earth or things in heaven, and you that were sometimes alienated and enemies in your mind and wicked works, yet now hath He reconciled in the body of His flesh through death to present you holy, unblameable, and unreprovable in His sight. Amen. Not in the sight of man, in His sight. We can be good in the sight of man, but we want to be good in His sight. Amen. Amen. And He does this work for Himself. Amen. After we got married and we moved into an apartment, my wife says, "Well, okay, well, hold on. Let's clean everything." No, they said it's all clean. Not for my wife. Bathroom needed to be cleaned, and kitchen needed to be cleaned, and all the cabinets needed to be cleaned, and all that. Well, they said it's clean and ready. Clean and ready to move in, but it wasn't ready for her. Maybe it would have been ready for me. But for her, it was not ready. So we have to go through every bit, every corner, every piece, you know, to be cleaned. Because we are moving in. It's not them cleaning for us, but we cleaning it for ourselves. It's a little bit different. How many understands that? Amen. It's a little bit different when you do it for yourself or someone else does it for you. And God is doing it for Himself. And He knows when it's ready. And He knows when to come. We don't have to make a program for Him. We don't have to schedule Him for any time. He comes when His bride is ready. Because we find in Revelation chapter 19 and verse 7 that His wife made herself ready, and now the marriage of the Lamb has come. Because she's ready. Amen? So what is God waiting for me to be ready? Now, if you are ready, just have patience with me. Amen? I just came to this church, so have patience a little bit with me. Amen? Hallelujah. By Him, for Him. God is doing it. Amen? Amen. Psalms 49, verse 6. They that trust in their wealth and boast themselves in the multitude of their riches, none of them can by any means redeem his brother, nor give to God a ransom for him. For the redemption of their soul is precious, and it ceaseth forever. No man can ever redeem anybody. Amen. Only one. Amen. Only one was worthy. So we go back to the book of Revelation, and we find that John is weeping because not just to open the seals, but not even to look upon the book they was worthy. You could say, well, there was standing Moses there. Now, Moses was a special prophet. You believe that? Amen. Oh, he was a special prophet. Amen. God rebuked Moses' sister and struck her with leprosy. And he was very upset with Aaron and everybody else that would rise up against Moses. Because God said he's special. But Moses was not worthy. Neither Joseph was worthy. I'm talking about Joseph in the Bible, so please do not try to go somewhere else. He was not worthy. No man on earth, in heaven, all that passed on, all that are under the earth, no man was worthy even to look upon this book. So all praise should be going to the only one, because only one was worthy. I'm jealous for God. I don't like people when they praise people. I don't like it because I'm jealous for God. Nobody's worthy for our clapping. Nobody's worthy for our praise. Only one is worthy, and that's our Lord Jesus Christ. Because he was the only one found worthy. And John was weeping because he knew that with all the confusion that we have now at the end, remember, John was representing the bride. And the bride was crying and saying, Lord, what can we do? Where is the truth? Where can we find something that is real? And God was merciful. And God sent us a prophet to turn our hearts back to something that is real, the Word of God. You know, such a simple thought. Brother Branham said, just to have this thing revealed to us that Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever, it already gives you confidence that he never changes. He will never change his views on anything. Whatever he started it right. He's not learning on the way and say, well, now at the end, I changed my mind because I saw that y'all doing it better. So I'm just going to say, okay, that's fine. Just stay on home and meet in the air. He said, forsaking not your assembling of yourselves together, even more as you see that day approaching. Is that right? There's no better way than the Bible way. Just like for that chicken, there's no better way to get out of that egg than to fight its way out. Keep on hitting it, that little shell of the egg, until it comes out, breaks through. And then you got to be careful. Don't try to help him out yet. Don't say, oh, poor little chick, look how nice little, oh, my goodness, let me help you out. I'm just going to take the rest of the shells off. That's what people do sometimes. Let the Lord handle it. Amen. The Lord has a way to change people. Don't have to dress them. You don't have to help him out. Just let the Lord do it. Amen. Start taking the shell off and all that, and you kill the chick. Is that right? Some of you never have seen a chicken come out of egg, did you? How many of you have never seen, raise your hand, never seen a chick coming out of the egg? You seen it? You know what? If you would not allow nature the way God planned it to work out, then you will kill the chicken. And that's the same thing with the church. Let God handle it. God doesn't need your hand to help him out and sanctify people. God knows how to sanctify. Because remember, we can dress them on the outside, but the inside becomes rotten. But God is sanctifying the unseen part of man. And that's where we need the change. We don't need a change just for the coat. We need a new man in the coat. Remember? Brother Branham said that. We put a new man in the coat. That's what we need. So only God can do that. Amen. There is a law of God. Now he is the only one that was able to redeem. And he said, John was crying. And he said, don't worry, there's a lamb. There's the lion of the tribe of Judah. And when he looked, he saw a little lamb. Little innocent lamb. He didn't see a mighty lion, but he saw a lamb. The simple gospel. The Lord himself standing there said, don't worry, I prevailed. There are two things why he was able to do it. One, he prevailed or overcame, and he was able to go and get the book. And another point is, it was his book. It's the Lamb's book of life. It's his book. Is that right? So if I go and grab Caleb's book there, and I grab it for him, from him, he has the right to come and reclaim it because it's his. Is that right? But what if I take it from this Caleb and give it to this Caleb? Well, I don't have the right to do that, but it doesn't belong to me. It belongs to this Caleb right here. Too many Calebs. Amen? Now listen, Caleb means dog, so that's good. Just keep on barking. Amen? You see the enemy, just keep barking. Hallelujah. It belonged to him, but then also he prevailed. You know what he became? He became our Goel, our Redeemer. He was willing to become our Redeemer. Remember in the book of Ruth, that's a beautiful description of redemption. And there was someone closer than Boaz to Naomi. Remember that? There was someone that was very greedy, that was closer than Naomi, than Boaz. And Boaz, being a just man, he gave the right to redeem to him. Said, well, you know, if you want to redeem her, Naomi and the land, redeem her. And he said, I will do it. I said, well, that's wonderful. But remember, when you redeem Naomi, the land, you also have to redeem it from the hand of Ruth to raise up seed for the dead. And when he heard that, the Bible said, he said, no, I can't do that. Right. Not because Ruth was an ugly woman, but because that meant that if he, whatever he does for them, it's going to be for the dead and not for himself. He is raising seed for the dead. And the praise would have not went to himself, but everything would have went back to the dead, Elimelech. And he could not do that. Everything he would have done, it would have been for him, for someone else, but he wanted for himself. But Jesus, God himself, was willing. Amen. To come down and do what? To raise seed for the dead. Remember, Adam died. Adam died in the Garden of Eden. But the last Adam came back to redeem us back. Is that right? Yes. Let me tell you something about redeem. You all know, but I'm going to repeat it. You got a good preachers here, so you're fine. You're set. And you have tapes. We have everything. We have more than what we need. Yes. Oh, actually, excuse me. I said it wrong. We have exactly what we need. Yes. We don't have more than what we need. We have exactly what we need. Because God gave us exactly what we need. Amen. Now, if I would say to, again, Caleb, Hemby, right? I knew it. See? I'd say to Caleb Hemby, Caleb Hemby, can you ever go back to Romania? You can't. No. Well, but now that I don't think that Caleb can either. So that didn't work with Caleb's. He can never go back. You know why? He's never been there. I can go back. I have been there before. So for God to redeem anybody back to himself, you had to be with him before the foundation of the world. You can't go back if you weren't there. So that's the reason some people can and some people can't. You have a long memory. When you come in contact with the voice of God, the real voice of God, it just reminds you of way back. And you start loving that voice and you don't know why. You know, even your body heard God's voice from the beginning. Even your body. Think about this. When you were in Adam, walking there, talking to God, having fellowship with Papa God, you had to be in Adam at that moment. Because God blessed Adam and Eve before Eve was even separated from Adam. And he said, I bless them and multiply and replenish the earth. Now, can anything change God's blessing? Nothing can change God's blessing. God blessed it. It's blessed forever. So everything that was in Adam, it's blessed. So who's lost? Well, that's why he had to come in somewhere else. That's the reason why serpent seed had to be revealed. A brother told me one time in Hungary, he said, well, Brother Tilla, what's so important about the serpent seed? Well, you know, what happened? It happened. I said, no. It doesn't really work like that, because if that would be the attitude of us, you know, then it would have not been necessary for God to reveal it. But God revealed it through the prophet today, the truth about the serpent seed, because it was an important piece of the puzzle. Because all the rest was blessed in Adam. And there has to be somewhere the enemy coming in. That's right. And the enemy came in from the serpent. Is that right? Yes. And obviously at that moment, there was a mixture of the blood. And it doesn't mean that everyone that is holy, everything in them is holy now anymore. Is that right? Okay. Brother Branham, you even pointed out a holy Rebecca and a holy Isaac, and brought forth a devil and a son of God. Is that what he said? Yes. A devil and a son. Was he a devil? Yes, because God said, I hate him. God doesn't hate his children. God loves his children. He said he loved them to the end. He loves you. He doesn't want you to be lost. He loves you. He cares for you. He wants you to make it with him. You cry out to him and say, Lord, give me your Holy Spirit. Yeah. You know what the Bible says? Because ye are sons, he sends his Holy Spirit into you. Yeah. So you know what we need? A revelation that we are sons and daughters. Yeah. If that's revealed, what would withhold God from giving to you the Holy Spirit? Yeah. It's your own mind that works against you. But the Bible said that he had redeemed us from the corruption of our mind. Not to lean on our minds and all the things that we can perceive with our minds. But in our hearts, just believe. Amen. Why is it that I can believe the word? Why is it that the word of God is so precious to me? Because I have heard that voice before.
Amen.
I heard that voice before, way before. Let me say something. You know, John the Baptist was sent to present the Lamb of God. Is that right?
Amen.
He was given a sign. And he said, when you see this, then you know that this is him. Is that right? But you read in the Bible that Jesus came up before John, and John said, why comest thou to me? I need to be baptized of thee. And Jesus said, suffer it to be so, John, because it behooves us to fulfill all righteousness. Jesus said that. Jesus himself had to submit himself to his own word. And he did. He knew exactly how to submit because it's him. But John said, I'm not even worthy to loose your shoes. And Jesus said, just go ahead, John. Do what you need to do. And the Bible said after he baptized him, the sign came. Now, how did he know before? How did John know that that was him before the sign came? Because the Bible said as soon as he baptized him, the sign came from heaven. This is my beloved son. Hear ye him. How did John know before he saw the sign that this was the Son of God? Remember, John came to life.
Amen.
Hallelujah. John came to life by the pronunciation of his name. He recognized the presence. And what you and I have to do is just recognize the presence of God. Recognize that he is sitting right next to you, willing to come into you, to change your life, to change you and fill you more than you want to get it. Because he wants us to go home. Some of us traveled many months away from our families. And I was going overseas for months at a time. My daughter Anna was just a little baby and my wife at home, and I would talk to them on the phone. And one night I remember exactly where I was standing there overseas. And Anna says, I don't have a... They went out somewhere, some get-together somewhere. And Anna says, well, I don't have a daddy here with me. I thought, oh my goodness. It just hurts me so bad. I wish to be there with her. I don't have a daddy here with me. Sometimes, you know, you're far away, and then you think, oh, the day is approaching when I'm going back home. And I can hardly wait to get back home, to be able to embrace my wife, and yes, to kiss her, and to hug her, and to grab my little daughter and just grab her in my arms, and just really enjoy their presence. God wants your presence and wants my presence. He wants us to get into his presence because he wants to do his work that he started in all of us. You know, the Bible says, Paul said that he espoused us to a man, to Christ. Remember? So with other words, you are engaged to somebody. Now, some of you brothers that are married, what do you think if you were engaged to your wife and then your wife is flirting with other men? Just keep flirting around with this and that and the other. You would say, oh, hallelujah, it's okay. One day you're going to be my wife anyways, right? It's like, did I make a mistake? You see, from the moment when you promised yourself to be a wife to somebody, you should live very, very dedicated life to that only one somebody. Is that right? So Paul said, we are espoused. You're espoused to him, to Christ. And let me tell you this. Do you know what God's first thought was when he gave the laws, the commandments? What was the first commandment that Jesus said? Love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy might. Is that what he said? That's the first commandment. Now keep this in mind. The first thing that came to his mind is for you to be in love with him. That's the first commandment. The real relationship with him is not based on keeping laws, but it's in falling in love with him. To really enjoy his presence. I told my boss when I started working in Louisville many years ago now, but the first day I met him and I was already out working in the shop, and I said, that was 20-some years ago, and I said, you're a Christian? He was one of the owners of the company. He said, yeah, I am. I said, well, what church are you going to? He says, well, I don't think you have to go to church to be a Christian. Sounded like something, the message. But so I said, well, yeah, you're right. Yeah, you don't have to go to church to be a Christian. But I said, you married? He said, yeah. I said, so when you were not married yet, but you were, you know, engaged to your wife or whatever, wife-to-be, and you had to go on a date with her, I said, did you have to do it? He said, oh, okay. Okay. I said, see, it's based on love. You love him. You want to be there. You want to go. You love him. You're in love with Jesus. You want to be there. About maybe 18 years later, he comes to me and he says, Attila. I said, yeah. He says, he said, let me tell you something. I said, yeah. He said, you remember that day when you asked me that question? I knew exactly what question he's talking about. I said, I think so, about church. He said, yes. He said, remember that? I said, yes. He said, I could not take that out of my mind from that moment on. And he said, I just wanted to let you know that I'm very dedicated. I'm going to church. He told me about church he goes to and how he is doing everything he can and all that to further the Christian life, whatever he knew. It took many years. It was eating in his brain, in his mind. But if you love the Lord, then you don't have to, you want to. If you love your husband, if you love your wife, you don't have to be honest. You don't have to be not to betray her because you have to by the law. But you don't want to because you love her. It's a love affair. So if you're espoused to Christ, then you don't want to do the things that are bothering his thoughts. Oh God, I just want to please you. Whether people are seeing me or they don't see me, I want to say the words that are right, and I want to think the things that are correct, and everything, let it be controlled by this love affair with my Lord. Amen. You know how real of a Christian life that will be then? There will be nothing that could withhold his Spirit to come down one day and just sweep you off this earth. Because the Bible says, now the wedding of the bride had come. His wife is ready. The wedding of the Lamb. His wife had made herself ready. Lord, make me ready. Amen. That's my heart's desire. I don't know when I started, so I don't need to finish yet, right? Let me see. Oh, there's a lot more time left. I was preaching in a church in North Carolina one day. And before I went in to preach, that was the first time I preached in that church. The brothers in the office, a deacon and another minister, prayed with me. A pastor wasn't there. And he said, "Brother, I just want to let you know two things you never mentioned from the pulpit." And I thought, man, that was the first time ever anybody tell me what not to. I said, "Well, tell me." He said, "Don't never mention time that you long." I said, "Okay." "And never say in closing." Anna asked me one time when she was little, she said, "Daddy, what does it mean in closing?" I said, "It means nothing." Yeah. It's just a way of saying, "Here, I got a little more." Amen. But the brother said, just don't never mention time. Because if you say time, you lose the people. I hope I didn't lose you. I'm not going to be that long, I promise. No, I cut it down to 2:45 now. That's it. Amen. So I'm sorry. I just have to ease up a little bit the atmosphere sometimes. You know, when the Lord opened the book, he took the book, the people there, the overcomers, broke into worship. Is that right? Oh, they started worshiping. The seals are open. It's a reason to worship the Lord. You know what? That's exactly what he wants. He wants you to be a worshiper. He wants you to come back from strange ways, strange gods, worldly things, and come back to him to worship him. He wants you to come back. I'm going to bring in a little testimony, if that's okay. I know there's a brother here that he told me, I told him before this testimony, and he said he wanted to hear it again. But one day I was in a prayer meeting, and during the prayer there, the Lord really laid on my heart, "You got to go overseas now." And I kept praying, and I said, when, Lord, when, and next week. And this was like Thursday, and next week would be Monday starting, right? And I thought, my goodness, it's just too urgent. I can't believe that it's so urgent. So urgent. Yes, you got to go, you got to go, you got to go. So I thought, you know, whenever he speaks, I learn to obey. And I knew, and when I tell my wife I'm going overseas, she's like, when? How long? And I thought, my goodness, if I tell her that it's next week, she's probably going to be a little happy. And so I thought, but I know her. She says whatever the Lord lays it on my heart, she doesn't want to stand against it. So I was so certain that the Lord was speaking to me, I couldn't reject it at all. So I came home and I told my wife, I said, "Well, I got to go." She said, like, "When?" I said, "Soon." "How soon? Next month?" No, next week. She's like, "Really?" I said, "Yes, I need to go." So Friday, I'm already getting things organized, finding a ticket and all that. I don't know why I'm going, but I know it's urgent. And so Saturday morning, I'm getting the car ready for my wife. You know, I'm going overseas to have a car ready for her and all that. And I had to go change something. And I was at the AutoZone, I remember, and I have a phone call from a brother I haven't talked to for maybe 8 months from up Lorain, Ohio, Brother Randy Sias. And he's a pastor up there. And it's like, when I answer the phone, he's like, "Brother Tiller," I said, "Yeah." He said, "When are you going overseas?" I said, "Well, brother, I haven't talked to you for months. Why do you call me today to ask me where I'm going?" He said, "Because the Lord told me to call you. Because you have to go." I said, "Brother," I started crying. I said, "The Lord told me to go, and I'm actually getting things ready right now. I already got the ticket, and I need to go." He said, "Okay, brother, let me send you something for the trip." So I said, "Well, thank you, brother." So God worked on both sides. Amen. And more than one side. And so I'm getting overseas, and I'm going for from church to church. I'm ministering the gospel, always good services. You know, God is always so gracious. You know why the services are good? Because people are under expectation. You know, the problem with us sometimes is we get used to people and we're not expecting anything. We're just, you know, we're here. Hallelujah. We punched in, punched out, and all good.
Come on.
Just like Brother Nathan said the other night, you know, he can preach the same thing as someone else coming in, and then I never heard that. Yes, you did. And this is how we are, because we just get used to, you know, the atmosphere. We are not under expectation. But when someone comes from somewhere away, okay, then the people are under expectation. And expectation is one of the things that actually draws the attention of God. Because you have to be expecting something from God. Remember Brother Branham preached the messages, expectations? Amen. God wants you to be under expectation. Anticipation. Amen. Lord, you're going to be moving. You're going to do something. A sister told me one time at the tabernacle, she said, when Brother Brandon was preaching, she said, I didn't even expect that we're going to make it to the parking lot before the Lord would come. They were under expectation. And Brother Brandon would preach the gospel. The people were under expectation for the supernatural. And the supernatural is always present. Even tonight he is present. There's nothing too hard for the Lord. No, not even your heart, what you're troubled with. God can come right now to you and take that evil thing out of you. He is here. He is worried. I'm not worried. He's concerned about you. He wants you. Amen? So I said, I go over. We have good services. And I'm looking, and I can't find it yet. I'm going to the next place. I have services every day when I'm overseas. Every day, even two services sometimes. And we just keep going, and have services, and I keep looking. What was that urgency? What was that urgency? About a week later, I got to the country of Moldova. And way away in the Ukrainian border there's a little village. I preached there many times, and there was a sister there that we had service in her house. And she's like around 60 years old, and her mother was 80 or something like that. And she would come to the services, but she was a Russian Orthodox. And she really loved to hear the word, but she was afraid of actually giving in. So one time she told me a dream that she had, and she said that I was standing there, and she said, you were playing on an instrument, and it was the most beautiful melody I've ever heard in my life. And she said, I just enjoyed it, but she said, there was a fear in me and said, don't take it. She said, do you think you know what it means? I said, I know it clearly. Because the Bible in Ezekiel, when God called me to preach, that's the word that God gave me in Ezekiel 33. He said, you're going to be standing there, and you're going to be like one that plays really nice on some instrument. And people are sitting and listening to you, but will not obey. And I told Sister Sasha, was her name now, and I said, I know what it means. And I told her, I said, what you're hearing is the gospel, and you really love it, but you're afraid because of the father so-and-so from the Russian Orthodox Church. She said, yeah, that's true. And then kept going on, and every service we would have, she was even more on fire. I knew it. She's going to break in one day. I just knew it. It's going to happen. So she's like, one day she says, Brother Attila, I really want to be baptized. I said, okay. She says, but if I'm going to get baptized and I'm going to die, who's going to bury me? Because the priest will kick me out. I said, sister, that's my least concern, who puts me in the ground. Amen. I said, I'm worried to get out. Amen. I'm not worried who puts me in there. I'm worried who takes me out of there. And what you're about to do is get a contract with the one that takes you up. I said, that's what you need. I said, you just forget about the priest. Somebody, listen, let me tell you, Sister Shah Sasha, I promise they will not leave you out. They'll find a way to put you in the ground. And she's like, okay, so we're going out baptizing her and her son also. He's also over 60 or something like that. And when I go in to baptize him, the brother says, do I have to keep my mouth open? I looked at him. I thought he was kidding. I said, excuse me? He said, do I have to keep my mouth open? Because my sister said to keep my mouth open so God can sanctify my tongue. I said, no, I don't think it's necessary. Actually, I want your mouth closed. And from there on out, after you're baptized, just keep on closed. It's all going to be fine. I said, no, you see, the Lord works a little different. And I looked out, and sister was just laughing there on the shore, like. But I baptized her. A couple of years later, I kept going back. But a few years later, the so-called Seven Thunder movement or whatever started going in there, and it was just a big, 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 big mix. So the sister, the daughter, was kind of going that direction and all that. So when we would come, she would not come to the services no more. And now she pulled her mother also her way, right? And so I would come, and they would not come to the service, you know. But she just really loved me, the old lady. Old ladies always liked me. Ever since I was a little boy. I was so ugly, they had to love me. And so she just really loved me, but she was afraid of her daughter to come to the services, right? And they started talking things, you know, it was not right and all that. And so a couple of years later, as I said, that happened. And a few months later, I feel this urgency in my heart to go. And I'm going there, and I have a service in the same village. And for the first time in all these, about 2 or 3 years, the daughter of this old lady also is in service, right? And I'm preaching it at the end, because I did that in every church. I said, the Lord laid something very urgent on my heart, and I don't know, I'm still looking, what was it? And I told them again. And after the service, the sister comes to me and gives me a little picture of a lamb. Just a picture with a lamb. And I said, okay. She said, I know why you had to come. I said, why is that, sister? She said, that little lamb you baptized, 80-some years old lamb, said she is dying. And she asked me about a week ago, before she went into a coma. She said, when is Brother Attila coming again? And that was the time when I felt so strong, you got to go, you got to go. And I said, well, how is she? Oh, she is in coma for about a week now. She doesn't understand nothing, doesn't recognize nobody. It's over, you know. But would you come and see her anyways? I said, sure, I will. So it was probably 11:30 at night. In some of those villages, we would have services always very late after they are done with all their agricultural work, you know, take care of the animals and all that. So service would start at 10:30 in at night sometimes. Sometimes at 11 o'clock in the evening, we start a service. And so it was really late, and he said, well, would you come to see? And I said, yeah, sure, sure. So we went, and as soon as I walked into this room where she was laying, just a frail little old lady, and I got close to her. Oh, brother, she doesn't know anybody. She's in a coma. She has no conscious of anything. I laid my hands on her hand, and I said, Sister Sasha, I'm here. And at the moment when I said that, she opened her eyes. She looked at me, trying to talk. She can't talk. Moving her lips, she's squeezing my hand, and she's just like jerking, like she gets into a real big revival. And I said, and the daughter standing there says, wow, that is odd. She has never done that for a week. She doesn't know anybody. And I started talking to her, and I said, Sister Sasha, I know exactly what you want to say. You don't have to say it. I know. You're sorry. You really are sorry for what happened. Keep going like this and just squeezing my hand and goes on like that. And I said, don't worry, Sister Sasha. Next time I see you, you'll be in a much better body. And so will I. I said, just be at peace, sister. Everything is forgotten. Everything is well. So I laid on my hands on her. She just kept moving like that. And I said, let's pray. And while I was praying, she stopped, completely stopped, showing that she was very conscious of what's going on. And I prayed, and as soon as I said amen, she just started grabbing me and pulling me closer, closer, closer to her like that. She'd be real close there. And I said, God bless you, Sister Sasha. I'll see you next time on a much better place. And I left from there. We had scheduled the morning service somewhere else. And on the way, as we were driving in the morning at 9 o'clock, they called me and said, just passed on. She just passed on. But I tell you what, if I've ever seen the Lord's grace intervening on the desire of somebody that she wanted to make things right, it was then. She wanted to make things right, and God honored her desire because she, I believe, was a real worshiper of God. And God will redeem you back to do what you need to do for the Lord. Because the Lord is pleased with his bride to be ready. Amen. Praise the Lord. I'm going to have to stop. You know, Jesus became our high priest. The Bible said he's the high priest of our profession or confession. Is there other word? He is the high priest of your confession. You profess him as your high priest, your healer, your redeemer. You just keep professing him. Amen. Say the word. Just pronounce his name. All the time you get in trouble, just pronounce his name. Amen. Call him upon the scene. No other name but the name of Jesus makes the demons tremble. Is that right? No other name. You know, Moses, I'm closing now. Moses, as I said, was a very special man. God has given Moses to write the first five books of the Bible, to bring the commandments, to do all those mighty works. He was the one that was shown the tabernacle in heaven to know how to build it on earth. Is that right? He was a special man. So he came and brought the pattern for everything, the blueprint for the tabernacle. Excuse me. The three courts. And there was one certain court that Moses was not allowed to go in. After it was built, there was the inner court, the holies of holies, that only one man, one time in a year, could go in with blood. Is that right? Now, in the holies of holies was the presence of God. The sins of the people were forgiven, remitted for 1 year. Every year renewed the forgiveness. Right in that moment when the high priest would go into the presence, right? But the high priest had to be called of God, had to be special. He had to dress specially. He had to do all the anointings that God required to do for him to go in. And then they had to put a rope on him that if he was not clean, they would pull him out because no one had the right to go in there to take him from there. Right. Think about that. Moses, the great mighty prophet that brought the pattern, was not allowed to go in there. Is that right? You know, Brother Branham said that inner court represented human heart, where the ark was laid. He said ark was the word. He said that inner court. And he said there was only room for the high priest once a year. Jesus became our high priest. And the only one that should be in your heart. Amen. No man, no prophet, no this, no Jesus alone. He is a jealous God, and he wants to have the right to get in there and Him alone. You fall in love with Him and you don't want no one else. You don't want the world. Actually, the things of the world, they are bothering you because He doesn't like Him. Right? He said, the world passeth away and the things of the world, but those that do the will of God, they will abide forever. And you love Him. And you submit yourself to Him because you love Him. Amen. Not because He is going to cast you to hell. Remember Brother Branham's expression? He said, if there's such thing as love from hell, he said, I will still love Him from there. Right. If He wants to send me to hell, and it pleases Him for me to go to hell, I will go to hell for Him. Is that what Brother Branham said? You know why? Because it was a real love. It was not a selfish love. It was a real love. The Apostle Paul said that I would want myself to be cast away for my brethren. Now that was real love. It was real love. It's not about me, Lord. It's all about You. It's all about You. I just want to please You, Lord. Don't never let me turn my eyes to anything else. Don't let me look at this or that or praise this man or that man. Or no, Lord, let me always remember there was only one worthy. Only one worthy to pick up that book and to open the seals. You know what happened? They started breaking into worship, and then they found their position in God. What did they say? They said, You have made us kings and priests unto our God. Amen. You know what a priest is? A priest is someone that was approaching God to worship. Is that right? Amen. Was approaching God to worship the Lord. And a king is a ruler. And the Bible says we shall rule on this earth. Don't lower yourself down to the things of the world. If you love the world or the things of the world, then cry out to God and say, Lord, take this love of the world away from me. Because Your word says, if I love the world and the things of this cosmos, then the love of your love is not even in me. And I want Your love to be in me. Is that your heart's desire? I know I'm not bringing too many lessons, but would you bow your head? And just not for me, but for the Lord. Would you respond to Him by, if the Lord spoke something to your heart and you understood something that the Lord is asking you to do or not to do, would you just stand on your foot and say, thank You, Lord. Thank You for speaking to my heart. God bless you. God bless you. Just be honest with God. God knows your heart. God, You said something to me. I'm very serious, Lord. God bless you. Heavenly Father, it is a solemn moment, I understand. But we want to confess our love to You, Lord. And how much better to confess it than with doing the things You said. Because You said, if You love Me, You do My commandments. If You love Me, then I come to You and I will reveal Myself to You. Lord, I want You to reveal Yourself to us. And there are people here, Lord, that are seeking the baptism of the Holy Ghost. There's somebody here struggling and thinking that he's not worthy. But no, none of us are worthy, Lord. We are all needy people. We all need You to intervene on our behalf. To take the love of the world or anything, Lord God, that would hinder Your presence from our lives. Take it from us, Lord. You see the hands raised and You see the people standing, Lord God, and You know what's in that heart. You know what You have spoken to them. And may they make a commitment tonight. Lord, by Your grace, By your help, I will submit myself completely into thy hands. And I'll allow you to be Lord of my life. I want to make you God. I'll make you my God. Lord, the prophet said that God is an object of worship. So I'm going to worship you, making you my own God. I worship you, Lord. I worship you. I thank you. I confess my love to you, Lord. In the name of Jesus Christ, for your glory and honor, Lord. Amen. Amen. Do you love him? Amen. Of course you do. You know how he was so good. He revealed himself to us. As Brother Nathan said this morning, he could have went to someone else, but he came to you. He came to me. But you know why? Because you were there before the foundation of the world. And it was a day when you recognized his voice. And you said, Lord, thank you. They don't hear nothing, but I hear it. Amen? They can't hear nothing, but I hear it. They can't see nothing, but I see it. You revealed it to me. May my life be pleasing to you and only to you. May God bless you as I turn it back to Brother Nathan here.
Amen. Amen. Let's just stand together and sing that.
Oh, I love you, Lord, and I lift my voice to worship you. Oh, my soul, rejoice.
Just worship him together tonight.
Oh, I love you, Lord, and I lift my voice to worship you. Oh, my soul, rejoice.
Loves the praises and the worship of his people. Let's sing it again.
Oh, I love you, Lord, and I lift my voice to worship you. Oh, my soul, rejoice.
Let's just agree together for our brother tonight. I love you, my Lord, with all of my heart. You are my everything. You're the reason I sing. I love you, my Lord, my Lord. I love atmosphere. God can do anything. Oh, I love you, my Lord, with all of my heart. You are my everything. Lord, you're the reason I sing. Oh, I love you. I love you, my Lord. Love him tonight. I love you, my Lord, with all of my heart. You are my everything. You're the reason I sing. Oh, I love you. Oh, we love you, Jesus. We worship you, Father. We praise you. Oh, just express your love to him as you praise him. He's my everything. He's the reason I sing. Oh, I love you, my Lord. Oh, I love you, my Lord. With all of my heart, you are my everything. You're the reason I sing. I love you. I love you. I'm going home. Yeah.
such a stranger here, but now I'm going home. Oh, cry.
yes, Lord.
Because he lives tomorrow.
Yes, Jesus.
Because he lives, all fear is gone. Because I know, yes, I know, he holds my future. Oh, and life is worth the living just because he lives.
Amen. As they play that softly tonight. Him to come and redeem you, you had to be there in the first place. Amen. You appreciate what you've heard tonight. Amen. Wonderful word of the Lord through our brother. We got a prayer request came in. Sister April Stutzman said, please pray for my cousin Cheyenne. She had to be rushed to the hospital due to emergency appendix trouble. Let's just take this before the Lord. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, it's because you live. Lord, it's because we serve you in the power of your resurrection, Lord. When prayer requests come in, Father, we don't have to be worried or troubled. Lord, we can take you at your word, Father. Lord, we believe you're a healer. We believe you're the great physician. Lord, may you move on the scene for Cheyenne there in the hospital, Father. Lord, guide the doctors. Lord, may you use it to get her attention, Father. Lord, may your hand be in all of it, Father. We just pray that you would take complete control of the situation. Heal her body, Father. Bring her into a closer fellowship with you through it, Lord. May you have preeminence in all that's done, Father. We give you glory and praise. Lord, thank you for these. That, Lord, some came forward for prayer. Some came forward just to talk to you, Lord. But whatever the need, whatever the circumstance, healing or salvation or the Holy Ghost or a closer walk or, Lord, specific needs in their lives, whatever the need, Father, you know all about it. You know the situation. You know the need, Lord, seeing some of the young people here, Lord, some of the young men and young women sitting here, and Lord, feeling conviction come down on them, Lord, seeing them bow their heads and pray and talk to you, Lord. What an atmosphere that it is that we're in tonight, Lord. I pray that your Holy Spirit would touch each one. Give them what they have need of, Father. Seal them into your kingdom with the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Give them strength to walk in this age that they live in, Father. Help us, Lord. May your Holy Spirit have preeminence in each one of our lives. Lord, we have confidence in you. We're trusting in you tonight. In Jesus Christ's name, amen. Amen. You love the Lord tonight. Amen. Let's sing this together. Oh, in moments like these, I sing out a song. I sing out a love song to Jesus. In moments like Lord, I lift up my hands. I lift up my hands to the Lord. We're singing, I love you, Lord. I love you. Oh, yes, we're singing. I love you, Lord. We're singing. Oh, I love sing it together without the music, just the voices singing. Sing it that way again together. Oh, we're singing. Love him.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Let's try this together. Flow through me.
And as I lift my hands.
Redeemed, how I love to proclaim it. Redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. Redeemed through His infinite mercy. His child and forever. Oh, so happy in Jesus, no language my rapture can tell. I know that the light of His presence with me doth continually dwell. Oh, redeemed, redeemed, redeemed by the blood of the Lamb.
Let's sing this together.
Oh, where do I go when there's nobody else to turn to? Who do I turn to when nobody wants to listen? Who do I lean on when there's no foundation stable? I go to the rock, I know He's able. The rock. Oh, I go to the rock of my salvation, to the stone that the builders rejected. I run to the mountain, and the mountain stands by me. Oh, when the earth all around is sinking sand, on Christ that solid rock I stand. When I need a shelter, when I need a friend, I go to. Oh, and where can I hide till my storms have all passed over? Who do I run to when the winds of sorrow threaten? Is there a refuge in these times of tribulation when my soul needs consolation? I go to the rock. Oh, I go to the rock of my salvation, to the stone that the builders rejected. I run to the mountain, and the mountain stands by me. Oh, when the earth all around is sinking sand, on Christ that solid rock I stand. When I need a shelter, when I need a friend, I go to the rock. Let's sing it again. Oh, I go to the rock of my salvation, to the stone that the builders rejected. Run to the mountain, and the mountain stands by me. Oh, when this earth all around is sinking sand, on Christ that solid rock I stand. When I need a shelter, God bless you, you can be dismissed. Let's sing it as we go. Oh, where do I hide till my storms have all passed over? Who do I run to when those winds of sorrow threaten? Is there a refuge in my times of tribulation when my soul needs consolation? I go to the rock. Oh, I go to the rock. Run to the mountain, and the mountain stands by me. When the earth all around is sinking sand, on Christ that solid rock I stand. When I need a shelter, when I need a friend, I go to the rock. Oh, I go to the rock. Let your word be born in the manger of my heart. Oh, let it live in me. Let it start. Live inside this house of clay and mold me every day. Oh, let your word be born in the manger. Sing it again together. Let your word be born in the manger of my heart. Lord, let it live in me. Lord, let it start. Live inside this house of clay and mold me every day. Oh, let your word be born. Thank you. God's fullness dwelleth in Him. Without reluctance, flesh and blood, His substance, He took the form of man, revealed the hidden plan. Oh, glorious mystery, the sacrifice of Calvary. Sometimes hallelujah, sometimes praise the Lord, sometimes gently singing, our hearts in one accord. Sometimes I sometimes gently singing our hearts in one accord. Oh, sometimes hallelujah, sometimes praise.
Oh, I love
the middle.
In the prayer.